The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but they would be too much for you now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to the complete truth, since he will not be speaking as from himself, but will only say what he has learnt. And he will tell you of the things to come. He will glorify me, since all he tells you will be taken from what is mine. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said, all he tells you will be taken from what is mine. The Gospel of the Lord. I think we can all be fascinated by the mysterious. Children love stories that lead them into a world that both taxes their imagination but also enchants them. And for all the sophisticated things that they've got these days, I'm sure that even today, still stories that enchant them and fix their imagination, they enjoy. Of course, in the Middle Ages, the mystery plays were providing a way of entertaining the people, but also teaching them about the great biblical stories and truths of the faith. And we still speak about the truths as mysteries of faith, as indeed each Mass we prepare to celebrate the sacred mysteries. After the consecration, we acclaim the mystery of faith. How would you define mystery? Most of us would probably lean heavily on the fact that a mystery is ultimately beyond our understanding, and at one level, we'd be right. But there is a danger that we may think that it's too beyond our understanding, such a mystery, we can't get near any of it at all. And there's a sense in which, of course, the mystery of the Blessed Trinity can be one of those things, the three persons and yet one God. And yet Saint Patrick, reminds us even in nature, we can see that three can be united in one. That symbol of Saint Patrick, as you know, used the shamrock that's there on the statue there. All around his feet are shamrock leaves, reminding us the understanding of the Trinity. As it was Patrick that each day bound himself, I bind to myself the strong name of the Trinity. But can we move beyond an understanding of the Trinity as like a mathematical puzzle? Well, I hope today's scriptures try to help us to do that. That first reading from Proverbs giving us an amazing description of the wisdom of God, a God at play that delights to be at play with us too. It's a beautiful image. Going back to the children and their mystery, well then, this God who is at play, delighted to be at play with us, a master craftsman everywhere in the world. And that's an image of God maybe to take away, rather than a vengeful God that some people have in their minds, someone who longs to play with us, to engage with us, to be so much part of us, because he does. And that's why in all of his letters, St. Paul seems desperate that his readers understand and realize that the coming of Jesus, who he speaks most about, confirmed the truth of the closeness of God to us. Because now, because of Jesus, we can see that we're invited to be part of the family of God. And that's how we're to understand the Trinity. God revealed God himself to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a family, and yet one, a life to be lived. And that's what he's asking of us, a life to be lived in a state of grace and ultimately to share God's glory. And it said in that opening hymn, it's only clouded by the eye of sinful man. Jesus, in the Gospel, picks all that up too. He says, there's too much for you to take in. I can't tell you everything now, but when the Spirit comes, He'll guide you to the complete truth. And it's saying almost that we now need the next umpteen weeks. If this is the eighth week, we've got 34 weeks of ordinary time. It's saying you need all that time to take in again the mystery of the Trinity and grow in that mystery and the faith. Because, of course, our religion, although it is mystery, it's also a revealed religion. People need to realize that it's revealed. And it's revealed to us, the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. But another image you might like to take with you and think about today, I just read it this week, is about, think of the Blessed Trinity as a bit like the ocean. Obviously, any image is never going to be enough. Bit like the ocean. And it suggests that the vastness suggests infinity. The ceaseless movement speaks of eternity. Its depths are an awesome mystery. And yet to relax every muscle and float with the waves is intimacy. The stormy sea shows the terrifying power. And yet, you can be absorbed at sea in a calm ocean sunset, probably one of the great moments that you may experience. The twice-a-day miracle of the sea coming in and going out expresses the movement of God, almost in a way at play, but constant movement. God who never rests, always with us. The deep and mysterious bosom of the ocean, like the Father, the first principle of all being. And from this living bosom proceeds the incoming tide, as the Son proceeds from the Father. That incoming tide reaches our shores, as the Son came on earth in our flesh. And the pockmarked beach, the pockmarks of our work and our play on the sands of the world, totally erased at the high tide as it sweeps away. The work of Jesus was a cleansing wave of mercy and forgiveness on the sands of our life. And when its mission is done, then the tide dies away and returns to the ocean, as the Son returned eternally to the Father. Science, of course, tells us that it's the moon, or the magnetism of the moon, that hovers over the waters, and the sea is drawn by that magnetism. But maybe think of it too as the Holy Spirit that sort of moved over the face of the waters right at the start, the opening words of Genesis. The Holy Spirit moved over the waters, the ebbing and the flowing of the tide, the Spirit moving over the waters, much as the breath of God moved into us to make us live. So when you're looking at the sea and the ocean, think sometimes of what one of our hymns says, most ancient of all mysteries, before thy throne we lie, have mercy now, most merciful, most holy Trinity.